Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to SightAndVisionRadio.com presents the Audrey Hyman Traveler Network show. And the show is about fun traveling and leisure traveling. All you want to know, all you need to know, and all you don't know about the do's and the don'ts of traveling. And if you travel around the corner, round the country by bus, by train, plane, or the luxury ocean liner, please listen in. And here to introduce our travel agent and consultant is our own hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee.
Well, every third Friday, we welcome Audrey Hyman of the Hyman Travel Network, who advises us on all things travel, from what to pack to where the best deals can be found. And today we were going to explore cruising in the Eastern Caribbean, but there's been some new news that just broke a few moments ago, and so we will be changing our topic a little bit today to talk about the embargo and what it will mean to travelers who wanted to go into Cuba. But before we begin, Audrey, we have a little surprise for you. Reverend Radio Ray ran into Reverend Dr. Craig Wright at a men's conference. He's the author of It All Adds Up, a book about spiritual numerology. And numerology can help one understand transitions and changes, make sense of the cycles in one's life, and identify challenges and how to use your talents and gifts to your best advantage. And with your new adventure, the Hyman Cultural Travel Tours, Dr. Wright is going to give you a brief reading on how God has brought you to this place for a time such as this. Dr. Wright, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, great. Reverend Ray, I believe you are going to talk. So, Audrey, just hold on. You're going to learn some things that you may be aware of and some things you may not be aware of. Go ahead, Reverend Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for indulging us. Yes. This is a special gift we wanted to give to you, Audrey. I ran into a doctor, and then run into, because being blind, I do run into a lot of people. But I met Dr. Wright last year, about this time, at a men's conference up here in New Jersey. One of the churches, Hunter Memorial, have their men's retreat up here in New Jersey at the Atlantic City. Don't scratch your heads on that. I guess we're just trying to witness to the sinners up here. So anyway, I met him last year. He did a reading for me. He's going to tell you what the numerology is, and he is a numerologist. And everything he told me last year gave me the confidence and all the springboard my life that has changed as he did a reading for me last year. And he was so instrumental in my life, as well as a lot of the brothers that was up here. And I know he's a consultant and then part of the inner circle of the pastor Hayes that's moving to a new church and all. So obviously something is going right. So I want to he's going to get your birthday, and then he's going to give you a reading, which this thing costs hundreds of dollars now, Orge, when he does this. But he's doing this as a fighting vision friend. Okay, so.
Oh, so wow, I'm excited.
Yeah, so we go. So I didn't mean to hijack your show, but I think this is so important. So, Dr. Wright, thank you for brother coming on. Tell us what numerology is and what is a numerologist, and then you can ask Orge what her birthday is and go from there. Thank you.
Okay, numerology is the study of the spiritual significance of letters and numbers. Just as a musician uses letters for notes and numbers for timing, the letters in our name and the numbers in our birthday are symbols for the song that we play in the symphony of life. Every number has a spiritual significance because numbers are different from figures. We use figures to count and to measure things, but numbers reveal spiritual qualities. So I have your first name, Audrey.
That's correct.
And when is your birth date?
You want the whole thing, the year too?
Yes,
or unfortunately, we have to take that.
on the radio? Okay.
Yes.
All right. It's September 11th, 1945.
Okay. Well, this is going to be 1945. Very, very interesting in that your day of birth, the number 11, matches your name. Your name is also a number 11.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the number 11. The 11 is called a master number. Double digits are master numbers. The 11 is called the master teacher. Okay, that means you're here to be an example for others. You are a way shower, a way shower. 11 is associated with light. The name Jesus is a number 11, and he proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. So you're here to be an example, to be a way shower, and to illuminate for others. Your name, Audrey, is a number 29, and, of course, 2 plus 9 is also 11. The 29 is an entrepreneur vibration, so you'll have an opportunity to have your own business. The 11 also bestows musical abilities with stringed instruments and drums, and many 11s are writers. You have the ability also to be a writer. Don't know if you're writing, but your name, Audrey, indicates you will have an opportunity, and I would recommend, in order to help be an illuminator, to write a book. To write a book. I don't know, maybe you already have, but this is showing up in your name. Being able to write a book, and this book will help you in terms of sharing your information and your truth and your light. If we add up the numbers in your birthday, 9 and 11 is 20 in your year. 1945, 10, that adds up to 19. 20 and 19 is 39, and the number 39 means love isn't put in your heart to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. So you are here to spread love and joy to others. The 39 is a joy bringer. You bring positive energy to life. And you're also helping to improve life for others, particularly young people. You yourself will always appear younger than you are. No one's going to believe your age because the number 3 is a symbol for expression and youth. Singing, painting, dancing, writing, anything artistic, decorative. There's a poet. there's a poetic aspect that shows up in your chart. Which means you'll have the ability to convey to people things that you have a unique insight on. 11s are very sensitive, and they see and feel things other people don't. 11 is a revelatory number in that you may know things are going to happen before they do. this is a very special year for you because... let's see, 9 and 11, 2017, 2 plus 0 plus 17 is a number 19 year. So this number matches your monthly and year when we add it up. This is a 39 year for you. So you'll have a chance to reach your goals. You'll have a chance to accomplish things that you've always wanted to do. And this will be a year of great abundance for you. Now, speaking of abundance, before God can put new things in our hand, we have to be willing to let go of the old. If our hands are filled.
Wait a minute. That don't mean Alex, her husband. Go ahead. go ahead, dog.
If our hands are filled, we can't receive anything new. So this month, when we add 6 to 39 is 45, this is a time when you will be able to separate yourself from people, places, and situations that have been holding you back. This month is about letting go of the old. We want to learn the lessons from the past and then let it go. So this month is about preparing for a new beginning in July.
I'm silent because I'm taking notes as you're saying it so that I can tell my husband, because I'm not going to remember all this good stuff. But the majority of the things that you said really fit what I'm doing and who I am. So this is really on point.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, Doc, we're going to have you on to talk more about what you're doing and all, and I really appreciate you taking time out to do this. Dr. Craig. Okay, thank you, Doc. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome,
okay.
Reverend.
Okay.
Renee,
thank
God bless.
You.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
All righty. Okay, you're listening to the Audrey Hyman Tribal Network show, and we just did a little special gift for Audrey Hyman about the numerology, what's coming up for her this year about numbers and numerology. And we'll have a show later with Dr. Craig Wright about numerology and how to get in touch with him, and he can do some readings and all. So we're going to Audrey, since we do have a recording of this, you will be able to go back and listen to what all he said.
Then we're going to
check in with you, which we do every month, and see how these things is manifested themselves. So now, as Jackie Leeson says, on with the show, Miss Renee.
Well, you know, I just want to interject this. I know Audrey, and some of the things he said about being youthful, looking youthful, that kind of thing, all of those are accurate. And I know some of the other things that as you go off into your new adventures, that some of that is right on time. And we did not give him any information. He just based that on the vibrations of your name. So just want to
It was right on
know.
Point, right, especially the writing part.
Well, we had planned a show on discussing cruising in the Eastern Caribbean, but here again, because we are a timely show and headline and news changes so rapidly, we're going to change our subject today and talk about President Donald Trump announcing that he will tighten rules governing travel and trade with Cuba. Now, Audrey Hyman, we talk about Audrey having being all things and knowing all things in travel. Audrey, you went to Cuba, and what does this change in policy mean to the travel industry, and even to your experience in Cuba?
Well, it means so much, and that's why I'm glad that we could be flexible and change the topic of the show, because I know if those people who have not heard it already, because I just watched the whole newscast on TV, so those who haven't heard it will be hearing about it later today. And it's going to change things drastically. In fact, I have a group of people who are supposed to be leaving to go to Cuba in 2 weeks. They're going to be there the first part of July. It's one of my interns who work for me, and she has a group that was going to participate in the festival over there, and they had their costumes. They were going to participate in the parade.
Wow.
So it was a big thing, and I have not been able to get in touch with her, but I know her people are really panicking now because they don't know what's going to happen. But I do want to kind of talk about not so much as what happened when I was there, because I wrote a blog about it, and I'll be really happy to talk about my personal experiences later. But because we are kind of low on time, I kind of wanted to keep this general and make it more informational for people who were planning to go, because I know a lot of people were planning to go, and then those people who have already been there so that they can compare to what happened a year ago when I was there. In fact, it was a year ago this week that I was in Cuba. And plans now with our new president has gone completely opposite from what it was when I was there. So a little bit of background. President Obama, as you all know, in December 17th of 2014, announced that there was going to be they were going to lift the travel restrictions and allow Americans to go to Cuba. There were specific areas that they had to adhere to, and it was under several categories. Now, those people who were planning to go to Cuba just for vacation or to lay out on the beach, that was a no-no. That was not allowed. But there were categories where people could really go. And so I'm going to go through the categories with you. These are the categories. If you wanted to go to Cuba, it would have to fall under these approved U.S. categories. First of all, if you had close relatives, you could go under the family travel option. And that meant that you could go to visit your relatives, but you could only stay for a short time. And it had to be relatives that had no more than three generations removed from the person that would be going. So you could go under family travel. Also, you could go under official government business. If you were a government employee or if you went on behalf of the American government, then you could go and participate as far as speaking to their government. You could go as part of a government organization. If you were a journalist, or someone who was writing a book or writing for a magazine, you could go under the journalistic option. But you had to be a full-time journalist, not just somebody who was writing a blog. And you had to have supporting documentation that you were there. You could also go if you wanted to broadcast or if you were a freelance journalist. But like I said, you had to have proof that you were there on official business for as a journalist. Then if you were there for professional research or meetings, if you're there to conduct professional meetings, to meet with some of the legislators or meet with some of the higher people in government, and you were there solely for the purpose of attending meetings, then you could go under that. Now, the one that's most popular to us, and the way that I went was under the people-to-people program, and that was considered educational activities. And as a matter of fact, I was trying to put together a group of teachers so that we could go over there and have dialogue with the teachers over there and exchange some of our methods, some of our strategies. So as I went over there under the people-to-people program, we were invited to go to some of their schools, and also we were invited to go to some of the concerts that they held specifically for us. I went with a group of travel agents, so it wasn't, it wasn't a personal visit. And so we were there, and we were invited to go to some of their concerts, and we found out about the universities over there. We found out the fact that the concerts were a way to make money so that they could give the money back to the government. So that's a whole different topic as far as the government control, because there's a lot of government control over there, even as far as going to the restaurants. You couldn't go to the restaurants on your own. You had to go, and it had to be documented, and you had to go to a government restaurant where the prices were set. And even if you went to
Let me just jump in for a second. How could you tell a government restaurant from one just run by a family or something like
private
that?
Because the private owned restaurants were called, and I think I'm pronouncing it right, Paladors. I think it's called, it starts with a P, and because this is kind of off the cuff, I haven't had a chance to really research the name, but it's a specific mm-hmm. restaurant, and that lets you know that it's run by a family owned, but the prices are still comparable to the government run restaurants. So we did go to one of those for dinner, and they were able to talk to us, and they were able to come out, and they brought their family out. So that was part of that people-to-people program for us to get used to their culture. And they had all cultural foods, margaritas, and all, not margaritas, that's Mexican. But I forgot the name of the drink that they, and if some of my travel agent friends are on, they can probably let me know later. But anyway, we were able to eat their foods, their native foods, and find out how it's prepared, and that was very interesting. Okay, so then there's a religious activities. And in order to go as a member of the clergy, it had to be full-time schedule of religious activities. So that's part of the people-to-people, too, but it's a different category of people-to-people under the religious activity. And, Reverend Ray, that might be something that might interest you a little bit more. Then
yes.
Public performances. If you were going over there to see exhibits or workshops, visit museums, anything like that, you could go under the public performance option. And also athletes could go over if they were participating in any games or competitions or anything like that. And I mentioned my intern who is taking a group of people over there to participate in their large festival parade. That's part of that public performance thing. Then there's another category just called support for the Cuban people. And that's under the Civic Society in Cuba. And that's just to say, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to spend some money. I'm going to buy some of the wares that they have, sort of like our flea markets, where you just go mm-hmm. in and you buy the homemade things that the Cuban people make. And then there's humanitarian projects, and they include people who are going over there in the medical field or the health-related projects to work in the some of the hospitals or some of the places like that so that they can swap ideas and swap techniques and strategies in that field, dealing with human basic needs. And then there's private foundations who go over there to get some products, but it has to be non-commercial things. So you can't go over there and buy a whole lot of things and think that you're going to come back here and sell them. The money has uh-huh. to stay in Cuba. Whatever you sell has to stay in Cuba, or whatever you buy has to be in Cuba. And then that's like 10 of the 12. And then there's other ones uh-huh. called the export to travel, meaning that, you know, import and export restrictions and transactions. And the final one deals with the music industry and the film industry. If you're going over there to do a film, or if you're cutting a record and you're going over there to sell a record or buy music. So those are the 12 basic categories where you could travel to Cuba, but it had to fall under one of those categories.
Well,
I know I've been talking fast because I was trying to get it all in, and that was kind of off the cuff. Go on,
but
Renee.
I think it's so important because, you know, once we knew that the doors to Cuba were open, we all thought we had an extensive amount of time to plan our Cuban trip. But this is quite disturbing. There were even flights that were going directly from the U.S. to Cuba. Was that not true?
Yes, yes. Flights, cruises,
okay, so,
I mean, the door was really open.
Well, you know, this is so disturbing. I guess I'll have to have a mojito And I think that
that's
was the drink
it.
That you were looking for. I may have to have a mojito to wrap my head around this because we were so excited when you came back and shared the people-to-people exchange. And it was restricted, but you still we were able to get to the island and be able to have some interaction with the Cuban people. And this is a huge setback.
It is.
As you said, in all of those categories, from everything from cultural exchanges to medications and medicines and those kinds of things, that it's just, I feel like, you know, just part of me has closed off educational exchanges, all of those things so important. I know that we're not politicians or policy makers, but what do you think will be the effect on the average traveler who had made plans to go to Cuba, not the immediate, but just sort of in the long term? We know that you've got a group of people that literally have to make a decision within 2 weeks. But what do you think the U.S., that the American traveling public will lose out not going to visit Cuba?
Well, overall, there's millions of dollars that's going to be lost to the travel and trade, the travel industry. Millions of dollars. I didn't have a chance to really research it yet because this was really this. We put this show together literally in like 15 minutes, but I know there's. I know that there's millions of dollars that's going to be lost. The cruise liners have opened up, and they have started taking bookings. The airlines have opened up. They were taking bookings. But it's interesting because I had some ministers to call me that they wanted to go. And they wanted to go after the first of the year. And I started doing some research, and that's when I found out that the contract that we had, it wasn't extended. So I told the reverend that I was talking to that he was going to take the group. I said, I don't know what's going to happen because they're not scheduling airline tickets or cruises or anything past December. So I don't even know if we're going to be allowed to go over there. Everybody was on pins and needles waiting for to see what Trump was going to do. And so now we know, but the thing that is disturbing to me is that it sounds like it's going to be immediate. Now, I don't know if he's going to let some time go by or people who've already bought tickets, if he's going to give us a couple of months to reorganize and try to recoup the money. I don't know what's going to happen, but from what I heard today, he signed it today, and it sounded like it was something that was going to happen immediate, that the doors were going to close unless the Cuban government did X, Y, and C. And if you hear the news tonight, you'll find out what the demands that Trump has put on the Cuban government that they have to do before we're allowed to go back in there. And so it has to do with political, you know, those political prisoners. It has a lot to do with, it's just an embargo all over again. And so it's going to take months and months of negotiations before he's even going to consider letting us go back in. So I'm going to be listening, just like everybody else, to the news, reading articles, and trying to put some of this stuff together so I'll know what to tell my clients.
Well,
okay,
you know, we will stay on top of this, and we will come back to revisit it. As you said, this was a very last minute because this literally happened just minutes and minutes ago. So we thank you, Audrey, for being on top of it. And again, this is the advantage when you use the Hyman Travel Network. Please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, because Audrey will be there on the front lines, making certain that your trip is not interrupted because you have already bought the travel insurance that you told us about a few months ago. So, Audrey,
right.
Can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Okay, email is the easiest way. It's ahyman0011@aol.com. That's ahyman0011@aol.com. Or you can call me directly at 240-643-6144. 240-643-6144. 6144.
Well, again, we thank you for being on top of this. We will revisit this. Our hearts are sad. Everybody raise a mojito until we can look at what the